You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit founded on the belief that every pregnancy deserves a happy ending. My guest for this episode is Marjorie Vale, a New York native who lost her son Alexei to stillbirth in 2004. Marjorie is the recent winner of the Mrs. New York American pageant and selected the Star Legacy Foundation and Stillbirth Awareness as her platform. Well, Marjorie, thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
Absolutely. And the first thing I wanted to do is just congratulate you on being named Mrs. New York American, and thank you for choosing Star Legacy Foundation and Stillbirth Awareness for your platform. It's a rare platform that someone would choose this, but I know this is a very personal topic to you. Can we get into your story a little bit? Tell us about your son and how you became involved with Stillbirth Awareness.
Absolutely. So definitely 16 years ago, my husband and I were expecting our first child. And of course, it's an exciting time, you know, when you're expecting your first child. And we had a pretty uneventful pregnancy, nothing to worry about, nothing too crazy. I wasn't even sick. And when it was time for us to go into labor, had a pretty uneventful labor as well, in terms of like me laboring and, you know, contractions and all of that. When it came time to go to the hospital, I remember thinking right before I got into the hospital, saw a lady coming out with her baby, securing the car seat into the car. And I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's going to be us in a few hours. And I was delivering at a hospital in Manhattan that happened to have a birthing center. So we went in and, you know, I labored for about 2 hours. And then all of a sudden, because it was a birthing center, I wasn't hooked up to many monitors. So just one, but they would listen to the heartbeat. And as it was time for me to push, I was pushing, and we saw his head crown and everything. And then it just went from, you know, it began to become a nightmare, because all of a sudden they couldn't hear his heartbeat. And so they called the doctor. They couldn't wait for the doctor. They rushed us into the OR. And it was after I was put under, and when I woke up is when they told us that he didn't make it. And so I have never ever heard of that in my whole entire life. I was really pretty shocked that was even a possibility, that someone can lose their child in labor. But that is our story, and thus began my trajectory to wanting to find answers and wanting to help. I wish that I could say that I wanted to help in the beginning. And I think I went through a process of needing to heal, needed to figure out whether I wanted to tell my story. I knew I didn't want to deny my son, but I definitely wanted to support other women. And it took me a while to get there, but I felt like around 2015 is when I felt like, okay, I feel like people can handle this conversation. Whereas before I didn't. And so that's what led me to Stillbirth Awareness.
And your trajectory, it's kind of fascinating to me, because at the Star Legacy Foundation, we often observe that people are most active in their advocacy and their speaking out of their story in those very early years, right after a loss. But you, you took some time, and I'm wondering what happened in your life during that time. What milestones were you hitting in your life? And then was there anything that happened that made you, that inspired you to want to be more active and be more vocal?
So, yeah, I mean, that's a good question. After we lost our son, Alex, his name is Alexei, and I just went through a process of grieving, lots of anger, lots of bitterness, I kind of pushed everyone away for a while and just trying to find my peace. And I think it took me a while to find peace. And I took some years, we traveled and we just kind of did things. And then I got pregnant again, actually, 2 years later. And we had our son, Emilian, who's 14 years old now. And I think being a mother again kind of kept me occupied. But I know that I wanted to be able to share my story because, I didn't really know many people who had my story, who've gone through a stillbirth. It wasn't until I started competing in pageants. I had pageants that wanted people to have a platform. So prior to that, my platform was supporting education in Haiti, which is where my family is from. I've done a lot of work there, done some missionary work there. And so I chose that as something that I wanted as my platform. But then I felt like it wasn't enough. Like, I felt like there were so many people who were focused on education and Haiti. So I felt like stillbirth was something that wasn't getting the attention that it deserved, that it needed more people to speak out. And so 1 year when I was competing, I decided, you know what? It's not going to be popular, but I'm going to choose stillbirth as my platform. And so that's when I felt like I felt ready, and the time was now to be able to do that.
And it is a very different platform than many of the other platforms that are out there. And I'm wondering, how has it been received?
It's interesting. I think most people are usually very sympathetic. I can't say empathetic, but very sympathetic to the platform. And people are, ask me how, what happened. I can't say everyone is always just kind of like wanting to know, but I know that people would agree with you that it is a very unique platform. And therefore, people realize it's not a conveyor belt platform. It is something that is near and dear to my heart. And so the rawness and the truthness of it is always, I feel like, very humbling in a sense, or very just kind of like awestruck, because it's not something, it's not like, oh, my sister went through it or my cousin went through it. It's something that I've gone through and that I'm speaking about. So I feel like people are always ready to listen because they know that it is something that is from the heart. It's my real life and must be very, very important to me if I'm willing to put myself out there, my story out there, for people to know.
And what you're doing is creating awareness. And I want to talk about the word awareness for a minute right now, because I know to many people, the word awareness doesn't mean very much. It's not very powerful. But in the pregnancy loss and stillbirth community, it means everything. Because as you mentioned, you didn't even know stillbirth was a possibility. Why do you think awareness is so important for stillbirth?
Awareness is, I think, I was saying this to someone else, when you think about, like, when you're in a plane, right, and they're giving those instruction on what if, if this happens and this happens, this is what you should do. I see it in the same way, that when you are pregnant, you should be able to know what the possibilities of certain things. And I feel that doctors are just really hesitant to talk about it, because, they worry about their patients. They don't want to scare them. But I feel like because it happens more often than we know, that it needs to be a part of the conversation. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen to you, but you should know, and you should be ready and cognizant of the signs, just the same way when the stewardess or the flight attendants tell us, what to do on and a plane just in case something happens doesn't necessarily mean the plane is going down. It's just that we're ready, right? And so in the same way, I feel like women or families should know that stillbirth is a possibility and what are the signs that we should be looking for so that we're ready and we're ready to run in to, you know, get support and help.
I'm really glad you brought that up because one of the biggest pushbacks that the Star Legacy Foundation and others often get from the medical community is that you don't want to stress out the mom. We don't want to unnecessarily cause stress. But beyond just knowing that it's a possibility, what else do you know about stillbirth that you think is most important for other moms to know?
You know, one thing that I've learned, I mean, throughout my years in supporting other, you know, other women and other families that have gone through it is that there is, you know, stillbirth crosses all races, all, you know, it crosses color lines, it crosses all, how would I say that? excuse me. It crosses all economics, you know, it can happen to anyone. And I feel like somehow, some way, sometimes people think that it's, you know, well, if you do this, or if you just smoke, or if you just, you know, if you take drugs, or, you know, they don't realize it could be anyone. It can happen to anyone. And I think the more that we're aware of that, then the more maybe we would take notice or would want to know more about the possibilities. And like I said, I agree that pregnant women shouldn't be stressed out. But how, for me, I know how I felt after it happened to us and how angry I felt for the fact that, like, I didn't know. You know, I felt ill-prepared for the situation that I was in. And I just felt like if I knew that there was a possibility, you know, I felt like there were certain things that maybe I would have done, you know, differently or more, or be more aware of, or things like that that are important.
I'm just curious if pageantry was part of your life 16 years ago, when you lost your son. Was that part of your life back then?
It actually was not. It was not. I felt that pageantry just gave me that, just kind of a step up as a vocal megaphone for stillbirth. And that's how I saw it. Like I said earlier, prior to that, when I was competing, I did a lot of missionary work and work with Haiti and with education in Haiti. And it just took, I had an epiphany one day. I'm like, well, here I have this megaphone, I have this platform, and I can speak about anything. Why not speak about stillbirth? Because it's something that I've gone through and many people seem to be afraid to talk about. Especially when we lost our son 16 years ago, we didn't go to therapy. There was no support group, nothing. We just had to navigate through this grief by ourselves. And what better way to let women know, like, they don't have to be alone. There are great places, there are great organizations that can help them through it, than using my voice, you know, as, you know, Mrs. So-and-so in the pageant world to do that.
I'm really glad you said that because when you're right in the thick of it, it feels like things are moving so slowly and progress is being made so slowly in this space. But the way you described what things were like 16 years ago makes me feel like we've come a really long way since then. And I'm wondering how, if you can articulate that, if we can go expand on that a little bit more about what have you observed about just our society in general as it relates to the acceptance of stillbirth and the conversations around it in the last 16 years?
Well, one thing, I think social media has allowed for things to open up more in ways that wasn't possible 16 years old, or open up the conversation in ways that wasn't possible 16 years ago. I didn't have that platform. No one had that platform. And so you kind of felt like you were suffering in isolation. And so I remember when I was sitting there in a hospital thinking, what the heck am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? And the poor social worker who was there just didn't know what to do with us. Right. And so it wasn't like I can go Google and say, okay, stillbirth awareness or, you know, lost a child. I didn't have that. So I feel like, especially now, just with social media alone, at your fingertips, you're able to be able to bring or find or discover plenty of organizations, and Star Legacy Foundation being one of them, as a means of support, you know, as a means of information that I never had. I didn't have at all. And so we've come a long way in that way. And I feel like technology has expanded, you know, those opportunities. And I feel like more, because of technology, more and more people are vocal and speaking and sharing their stories. And in sharing their stories, others are sharing their stories. And so we're getting the kind of recognition that stillbirth awareness deserves.
So as Mrs. New York American, what do you have planned for stillbirth awareness?
Well, first thing, of course, is awareness. And also, I would like to help Star Legacy Foundation in their research. I know that we're trying to figure out the whys. And I know that we have, you know, the surveys that we're asking women to do, women who have been pregnant, women who are pregnant now, women who have suffered a loss. Just so that we can start understanding the whys and getting to the roots. I know that we have Marnie, who is trying to raise money because she's got connected with the Ariadne Labs and the group that did a study that in Scotland, who was able to reduce the amount of stillbirths in the year based on, you know, certain things that they did with families to help them be aware and look for signs. So I really want to support that research. I want to help Star Legacy Foundation raise the money to be able to do that. I want to be able to talk about my story. I want to talk about what stillbirth is. And, you know, sadly, with the recent news with Chrissy Teigen and John Legend's son, passing, I feel like stillbirth awareness more so is in the forefront, because now you have celebrities who, you know, who so in a raw way share their story, and so people are talking about it more. So it's a time to just kind of take the momentum and go, right? So just sharing more about what stillbirth is, helping people to be aware, helping us to do the research, and also raising money so that we can help families not go home with empty arms. So those are my goals.
That's wonderful. How can people listening to this podcast learn more about you, support your efforts, or just become more involved in general?
Well, I have my social media handles. Of course, I have Mrs. New York American, Mrs. NY American. And I think if, you know, the way they can help is the way they can help Star Legacy Foundation is those things that I just spoke about previously. And sharing anything of relevance, helping us to make connections with hospitals and doctors and those types of people so that we can get the word out, so that we can help more families. Also, you know, I know that we have support groups, you know, sharing those so that those who are grieving are able to find a place, you know, go and you know, share their grief. You know, it's so funny because ironically, since I became Mrs. New York American and sharing, I have had women reach out to me saying they need help, they need support. And I'm so thankful that I'm able to say, oh, you know, Star Legacy Foundation has, you know, support. They have support groups. They have support groups for the grandparents. They have support groups for parents, you know. It's kind of a double-edged sword because it's sad. You know, it's so sad that I have to even tell them, but I'm so grateful that I can impart that to them so that they don't have to go through this alone.
Well, Marjorie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to chat with me. Thank you for choosing the Star Legacy Foundation and Stillbirth Awareness as your platform. It's such a wonderful thing, and as you know, it needs all the attention it can get. So thank you so much for everything.
Yes, thank you. And I think if also one last imparting word that I can give is, I think that's very important. Few weeks ago, we celebrated our son's, what would have been our son's 16th birthday. And I think one thing that I would like to encourage anyone who's listening, who may be a friend or, you know, of someone who's gone through this, is to just really help people to remember. Because one thing that we as parent of loss, we never forget. And it encourages us so much when other people help to remember our little ones that passed away. So, you know, just encourage a friend, you know, love them up, remember our little ones. It encourages us so much.
I'm really glad you closed with that, because my wife and I, we experienced the loss of our daughter Reese approximately 6 years ago. Her sixth birthday is coming up, and aww, our biggest fear every year is that people are going to forget. And so far, that hasn't happened. You know, we have such wonderful family members and friends that it hasn't happened. But it is one of our biggest fears, and it's very common that's a fear for people who have experienced this.
Yeah. It's a big fear, and my condolences and my love to you on your loss. It's you learn to live, you keep living, but it's very, very difficult. It's always in your heart.
Absolutely. Well, Marjorie, thank you again for your time. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you taking the time to interview me. Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Stillbirth Matters. I'm Chris Duffy. Thanks for listening.